Okay. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And we're talking about stewardship again. And we're going to talk, first of all, about the parable of the talents as well as there in Genesis 39. We'll go back and forth between the two of these with respect to Joseph. And back there on the live stream, it's going to show all the points at once, whereas here they are. There's some action to that. But nevertheless, we're going to look at the parable of the talents with respect to how we manage our finances, how we manage that which God has given to us. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." So obviously, here's a master. There's a couple characters. There's a master. And their servants, right? And the master delivers into the hands of his servants, he delivers into them a responsibility. They have been bestowed, he is given to them with an accountability, obviously, understanding that he will be coming back. But we have to realize that our lives, our time, our finances, our talents, all that we do is really a stewardship of that which God has given to us. Our health or lack thereof is God giving that to us and allowing that upon us. There's an emphasis really on the eternality of decisions that we make. Verse 15, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Now we find a delegation of abilities here, right? He says, "And according to his several ability." He understands he's got these 3 servants, as we'll find out. Each one of these servants are able to have a little bit. And he knows what each one can handle. And in this ability here, it's kind of like, reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Understand that God does not give us more than we can handle. We might think it's more than we can handle. We might think, "I can't do this. You know, it's too much. I mean, there's too much on my plate." But the talents are not just spiritual talents. He's giving in this here that he's giving to them, and they are financial talents. He's giving them things. The responsibilities there in his, whatever his household or land that he has, he's given them that ability. You realize that God has given us responsibilities: family, children, job, finances, church, responsibility, material possessions, etc. God's everything that we have, we are to steward according to the Lord. And God will give it to us, give us more according to our faithfulness or lack thereof. And now, I'm not saying that just because we're faithful, we're going to be wealthy. I'm not preaching a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, because that is false. And God knows what we can handle, so he'll give us what we can. And Luke chapter 16, verse 10, as we discussed last week, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." So the fact remains here in this parable of the talents, we have to understand that there is a stewardship. Everything that I have, I am to steward, I'm to watch over, to manage for the Lord with the understanding that he gave it to me. And the gain of the talents, verse 16, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So here's a wise servant that takes his master's goods, his master's gifts, and he begins to say, "You know what, I'm going to invest it. I'm going to invest it," and here, as we'll read, it's an eternal thing. But I want to ask us, as we are making our financial decisions, as we're making our purchases, as we're making our investment of our time, am I thinking, "Lord, is this what you want me to do?" He does not look at the master's good as personal gain. He doesn't keep it for himself. He's like, "Wow, I got 5 talents. Whatever those talents are, but it doesn't mention if it's silver, gold, it just says talents. But the finances that we have, if we deal with them, as we're going to see here, in an unwise fashion, there are consequences for that. And everything the master gives them, he has personally and eternally invested. Now you also have here, verse 17, "And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. So here's another gentleman that he gives two talents to. Now he understands, the master understood that this person with two talents couldn't take as much responsibility as a person with five. But it doesn't mean it's a less of a person. It just means he knows the characteristic. And just as children, just as other people, maybe people in your workplace, there's only so much you can give them before they're overloaded with stress, before they're overloaded. I mean, there's just things that some individuals just can't handle. And God understands that. And these, both of these people looked at their master and they wanted to advance his cause. Is this the condition of way we spend our finances, our expenditures, our purchases, how they're utilized? And I'm not saying that these talents are just our abilities to be used at the church. It is an understanding that everything I have is from the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, would you look with me here? We'll come back to Matthew chapter 25. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it reads, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So based upon this, does God care what I purchase? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Does God care how I use my money? Based upon that verse. The obvious answer is yes. So does he care how I use my time? Is it my time or is it his time? Well, if you want to be truthful to the scriptures, it's his time. Now, it may not be dedicated to him, but it's still his time. So the answer to these questions is a very emphatic yes. Now, going back to Matthew chapter 25, verse 19. After a long time, I'll come back to verse 18. I did skip it for a reason. I'll come back to it. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. We're going to have to give an account of how we've lived our life, how we've spent our time, how we've spent our abilities, how we've spent our finances. And the reckoning here is to see how we have dealt with that which God has given to us. In Romans chapter 14, look with me here, Romans 14. We'll look at a couple passages, come back to Matthew 25. Romans 14. Verses 7 and 8. For none of us, what does it say? For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So, I mean, the principle hit is that it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It is to be consecrated unto the Lord. And that might sound like a very trite or simple thing. But as I'm investing my life, am I investing it for what I want? I deserve it. I need it. And is that what God wants? I'm just asking you. Only you know before the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This master here in verse 19 of Matthew 25, he's come back and he's reckoning. He's seeing, how have you dealt with that which I have given to you? So everything you do in your body, you're going to have to give an account of. Think about it. God considers the money you have as his. He gave you the job. He gave you the health to earn that funds. Now, notice with me verse 20 through 23. I am skipping the third servant here. I am going to come back to him. So I'm going to have to hasten here. Verse 20. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, a good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou to the joy of the Lord, thy Lord, excuse me. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful, notice with me, faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So this servant, both of these servants are being praised for what? Faithfulness. Doesn't matter if one had a lot more or one had less. Doesn't matter if we have a lot of money or little money. Whatever I do have, I need to use it according to how God leads me and guides me. And so the very fact is, if we have such things and we're continuing to purchase, maybe purchasing non-essential items, I know we have that with the COVID, but anyways, non-essential things that I don't have to have and it's putting me into debt, well, then that's an unwise stewardship. Our time, our physical ability, and finances need to be yielded to the will of God for our lives. Now, in Genesis chapter 39, there's a story of Joseph. In Genesis chapter 37 really talks about the Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers. Imagine that story. I mean, just your own siblings selling you into slavery. The absolute grievousness of your family hating you so much that they want to get rid of you. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 4, I'll just read this for you. You're welcome to look at it. But Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. Joseph was sold as an animal. But it says, which had brought him down thither, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Think about this. Joseph was called a prosperous man. Joseph is in Egypt, a slave, sold as animals are sold, and yet God calls him a prosperous man. All that he did, he made to prosper. Joseph dealt with what he was given in a way that was pleasing to God. He resisted the advances, verses 5 through 18. He resisted the adulterous advances of Potiphar's wife as she wanted to have immorality with him. He said, I'm not doing it. Then she lies about him and he goes to prison, Genesis 39, 19 through 23. Verse 21 particularly, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 22, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand, all the prisoners that were in the prison. Now, if you read earlier in Genesis 39, Potiphar gave everything into Joseph's hand, not even knowing what Joseph was overseeing. I mean, can you imagine putting someone in trust of all your finances, all your household affairs, and not even knowing what they're doing? Better have some good trust in that person. I mean, if they have complete access to all of your accounts, I mean, they have your social insurance number, they have everything possible that they could absolutely destroy you. He has all of it, and Joseph was given that as a servant because Joseph was faithful. And then he's thrown in prison for being moral, and yet God was still with him. The jailkeeper committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in prison. Think about that. And how I spend my time, my money, my resources for the Lord. The story of Joseph lets us know that it doesn't matter our condition or our financial economic status. It is my faithfulness with what I have been given that determines my prosperity before the Lord. And I'm not talking prosperity necessarily financially. I'm saying with God's favor upon my life. Because Joseph kept on being pushed down. I mean, his father's favorite child. His father gave him a coat of many colors. His brothers, boom, they throw him in a pit. They wanted to kill him. They had suggested, okay, let's sell him. They sold him. So again, he goes from a father's favorite child, a wealthy family, to a slave. Then he's elevated to Potiphar's head servant. Boom. Again, another thing happens. It's the faithfulness with what God has given to us that determines the hand of God upon our lives. And so some key principles here is as a slave, Joseph owned nothing, yet the Bible describes him as prosperous. And you might be saying, I don't have much. Are you being faithful with what you do have? Wherever he was, people recognized Joseph as someone they could trust their resources to. Joseph was trusted because he didn't squander it. He didn't use it for his own personal gain. God blessed him. Look at something else here. Genesis 39:4, a recap here from Scripture. Joseph found grace in his sight, Potiphar's sight, and served him, and he made him oversee over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Total responsibility and stewardship. Where you're working, can your boss fully trust you? You're going to be wise with his time. You're going to be wise with his finances and his resources. How about in your own financial accountability before God? In Genesis 39:22-23, reading this again for you, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Here's a prisoner in charge of other prisoners. Typically, have you ever had siblings that you try to put one sibling? Mom and dad, you know, mom and I are going away, and you're the oldest, you're in charge. And then the siblings are like, who are you to tell us what to do, right? I mean, that's oftentimes kind of what you hear. At least I did growing up. And I was the oldest. So, but anyways, probably anyways. But the fact remains, yet here's a prisoner, God's hands upon him, entrusted with more and greater responsibility and resources. God did that because of the faithfulness of Joseph. You find, notice the five-talent Christian in Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, well done. What does he say? Thou good and profitable? No. Thou good and rich servant? No. What does he say? Faithful servant. He says the exact same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant, upon the two talent. It gives us a reminder the servants were not praised for how much they had gained, but rather for their faithfulness. What is it that God values in our life more than anything else? Faithfulness. It's an obedience to him. How I spend, how I use my time, my money, my resources. And even as I discussed on Wednesday night with respect to a father's leadership. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, he's saying, if you stand up, you sit down, you rise at the doorpost of your house, the word of God is expounded. I mean, so everything I'm doing in my life is to be faithful to God. Now we're going to come to the sad part of the story in Matthew 25. Here's the third servant. But he that had received one talent went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. This person is seen as someone who hides their life in this earth. And I don't believe that this third one is even saved, and I'll explain that here. But they're investing their life just for the here and now. Their money that they're using is for now. What they're doing is for now. How they're using their resources, their abilities, their mind, their... all of that is all wrapped up in what I can get. It really is the materialistic mindset we find in our culture. I need more. And if I have that, whatever that item is, I'll be satisfied. I'll be set. But this servant takes his master's talent and he hid it. He squandered this great inheritance. He wasn't focused on the master's return. He doesn't realize, thinking, hey, the master's coming back. You know, and we as Christians, I'll explain a little bit more here on this person, but we as Christians can get that way. And I do believe before the pandemic, you know, obviously with a lot of the comforts and leisures of life and freedoms that we so easily took for granted, that we begin to, you know, to say, if I have this or I have that, I'll be set. I can do what I want. I can do my hobbies and I'll be good with life. This man wasn't looking at how he was. If he was a father, he wasn't looking at that. If he was a parent, if he was as an employee, he wasn't wise in that. He didn't invest his master's goods. You know, if you're an investor, I had a friend of ours. He was he worked for a dairy farm and he sold futures for them, and he bought and sold futures and different things for the cattle farm, and buying milk and selling milk at certain prices, trying to make his boss money, and he made good money doing that. But what if he just went to his job and said, you're going to pay me and I'm just going to sit here and do nothing? be like, you're fired, right? The purpose for many jobs is to work. Now, I know there are lazy people in some jobs, but if you go to a job and someone is lazy, it makes a lot more work for everyone else. You realize it's the same way in the spiritual realm, within churches and other things, but also in our financial ability. You know what God's saying? I want to use you more, but I can't because I can't trust you. You're not faithful. You're irresponsible. An eternally conscious servant is one who is led by the Spirit of God. But notice with me verse 24 and 25 of Matthew 25. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. The servant doesn't know his master. He doesn't know him. And if I was to think about the Lord, hard, stiff, mean, that's not the Lord. This servant doesn't know his master. The lost man is doing nothing for the Lord. It's all about myself. What makes me feel good? What I deserve? What I should have? There's really a principle of gain and loss based on your commitment to Christ, but this lost person really never did anything worth investing. Now, look with me, verse 26 through 28. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. That's interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't believe that that gentleman was saved. I mean, I was sending him to weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the fact remains, the first two servants, they're thinking about the future. They're investing in the future, right? There's a thinking, a forward thinking, not just sometimes, you know, as we've said, your decisions now have future consequences. And so he's a lazy servant. He didn't know the Lord. I don't believe he's saved. Some would say he was saved, but anyways, I won't get into that. But it is simple to gain something on talents God has given you. If you put your money in the bank, it's going to gain some interest. Probably quite small, because you know, you look at your checking account and it's like 0.01% interest. I mean, it's just like pretty much 0%, but you're going to gain something. But just putting the money in the bank. And the fact remains, if we're doing a little bit for the Lord, there's some interest that will come from that. But based upon these two servants, the 5 talent and the 2 talent, they said, hey, I'm going to double my master's thing. There's a rule of 72 on how you invest it, and based upon the interest rate, the rule of 72 is when your money will double. There's a lot more to it. I won't go into it. I'd have to refresh myself on it. But I do remember the rule of 72 when I was looking at financial management, as I had to do it several times in high school as well as in the military. But with respect to this, this man really, he lived his life all for himself. So it's like a person, you know, you see people with all these toys and everything that they have in life, and you think that they would be extremely happy. I mean, they live for the weekends. Their weekends is when they have fun. They hate Mondays. They enjoy Fridays. And through the week, they're miserable because they live for the weekends. But the true shame of this man is everything he did would end up being absolutely unprofitable. Now, we as believers are going to have to answer before the Lord, do we have a forward thinking? What I'm doing now, what is the future implications of that? How is it going to impact my kids and grandkids? Or how is it going to impact, you know, succeeding generations or whatever the case may be? What am I doing to my finances, my time, all that I have? What am I doing to invest it forward? You'll never regret giving your life for the Lord and serving him as he wants you to. But the third servant is a here and now person. I'm going to have it now. It feels good. We need to invest our lives and our finances. The lazy servant ultimately couldn't even be trusted with anything. He was unfaithful. To be a good steward, you have to remember who the real owner is. So I ask you a question. Is the Lord prospering what you are doing, or are you barely surviving? Not being financially wealthy, but it feels as though maybe you're trying hard to advance and you can't seem to get ahead. You work hard, and it just seems like one thing after another just seems to fall apart. Maybe conflict in the family over expenditure of funds. It could very well be that in that expenditure, there's selfishness, and maybe there's some things that God's saying, you know what, with this conflict, let's see what God wants us to do. Key principles from these two illustrations we're going to look at just briefly here. As a slave in Egypt, Joseph owned nothing, yet the Bible describes him as prosperous. Whether he was a slave, a prisoner, or in the court of the Pharaoh, people recognized that Joseph as someone they could trust their resources to. I mean, the entire nation rested upon Joseph's shoulders. Think about that, coming from a slave. Because of his faithfulness, despite setbacks, Joseph was continually promoted. God did it. The two servants, the five talent and the two talent servant, received a well done because of their faithfulness. The lazy servant knew what his master wanted, but he hid it. He couldn't even be trusted with one talent. To be a good steward, I need to remember who the real owner is. Who is it that gives me my health, my finances, my time, my talents? We need to be thinking about this. I truly believe Jesus is coming back soon. Do I know when? No. Could be this year. I would hope so. But we've been entrusted. And so as we come to several things, I'll just go through these. On practical, there is that worksheet. If you've never done this, how do you spend your finances? Whether it's tithe and donations, housing, utilities, repairs, car payments, car expenses, groceries, eating out, activities and entertainment, just writing it out, how you spend it. And it'll give you some idea of where your money is going to. You think, I'd really like to buy this, but then you do this sheet after 3 months. A year would be the best, obviously. But you do it after 3 months, and you begin to look through it, and you're saying, wait a second, I'm spending a whole lot more than I thought I was in this category. I could buy this if I cut back on this. It's kind of like someone who's smoking, and I don't know what a pack costs, a lot, whatever they cost. And they're like, I smoke two packs a day. For a month. That's a lot of money. That's hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I don't know what it costs, but I'm sure it costs a lot. Well, if you stop smoking, the bad habit, and you did something profitable, right? You could do something with it. Guidelines used for managing money. Most people, they use their money just to survive. I use it for parents and friends. I use it just whatever. But according to the Bible, I need to use my money to please God with an attitude of honesty and also stewardship. Now, I'm not advocating here. I know there's some of those preachers that are charlatans. Give us your money and God will multiply it 3, 4, 5, 10, whatever times. I'm not doing that. It's between you and the Lord, what you do with it. But you are going to have to give an account for how you use your resources. You need to seek maybe godly counsel. You're saying, I'm kind of struggling here. Several weeks ago, as we played that video of Don Tucker showing how easy it is to get out of debt. He did a 12-year period. Now, there's certain things that, liberties that he took with that. But nevertheless, it is possible to get out of debt with some discipline and faithfulness. So what are my financial priorities, desires? Take care of my family, to pay off debt, to buy a car, church or charity, kids' education, save enough to retire at 60, 65, 70, whatever. What are your financial priorities and desires? Is my spending in line with my priorities or my desires? And we need to act on our faith by trusting God. Stewardship means using the resources God has entrusted to us to accomplish His plan.